person. Ask for God's help and wisdom. And so Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read three verses this morning. And then we'll pray. And you may be seated after that. And I'm going to be preaching with God's help on rich in Christ. Rich in Christ. And you read in your hearts, as I read out loud, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And let's pray now. Father, we love you. I pray for your handiwork, your touch. I pray you preach through me. Help me to preach this book like you'd want me to. May I not say anything that you do not want me to say, and may I say everything you'd want me to. I totally yield myself to thee, and as an earthen vessel, I thank you, Lord, for the power of Jesus Christ, power of the Holy Spirit that preached through me. May it be said like it was in the days of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration in 1 Thessalonians, I came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And may it be done today. I need you, Lord, in Christ's precious, blessed, wonderful, holy name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul is the human penman, but God is the author of the book of Ephesians. Many times it's easy to say, Paul said this and Paul said that, but always remember that it's not Paul that's saying these things, it's God that's saying them. This book is a very important book for believers. Ephesus was a central location for the world. They were so prosperous when it came to finances. You had an open gate. When it came to merchandise by the ocean, it was a central place for businessmen and women of the world. Of course, they had one of the seven wonders of the ancient world with the worship of the goddess Diana. And this place was a very heathen place. Very money-minded, materialistic place. And people were greedy of gain. And it's interesting that God gives a book that's theme deals with rich. But being rich in Jesus. True wealth is not physically or physical health. True wealth is not what you have materialistically, but true wealth is what you have spiritually. You can have money in the bank and be poor in spirit and be miserable and hate every moment of your life. You can be grinding a doggy dog's world, doing your best to gain something, to find something. And with money in the bank and with a nice car to drive and with a big fancy house, be empty and vain and pointless and live a life to where you wish you were rather dead. That's the truth. Just because you have money doesn't make you rich. You can be rich without money and you can be poor with money. Rich comes from Jesus. Many people live their life based on happiness, and happiness is based on happenings. If it happens good, I'm happy. If it happens bad, I'm sad. But joy comes from Jesus. And joy, since Jesus is who gives joy, can be everlasting while you live on this earth. You can be earthly but heavenly minded, having the joy of Jesus, and no matter what happens, happenstance, you're still filled with joy and enjoying this life. The Apostle Paul knew a little bit about this, didn't he? Here he's writing while in prison. A prisoner. But he's not singing the, nobody knows the trouble I'm in. He's not down in the mouth. He's not, woe is me. He's got something to be thankful for. He's actually got his heart on others, Lord. Yes, others. He is continuing on, believing there's a purpose. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, God has a purpose for me. He's called me. And I'm living for Him. And I'm enjoying the life, the battle. Now, how can we be rich in Christ? Here's the honest truth. Most Christians live in poverty. They live poor. They live uneasy. They live in fear. You know how many believers live in fear? What's going to happen tomorrow? What new attack could take place? How many Christians live in doubt? By the way, doubt and fear are brothers. Because when you lack faith and you doubt, you're filled with fear. God doesn't want a believer to live like that. God wants a believer to live with blessings. Notice, verse 3 is the key verse to the whole book of Ephesians. Verse 3 is the key that unlocks the door. Look, if you want to see what my house looks like, you got to get inside. You know what I mean? And you cannot picture my house and know what kind of home we have and the way it's built, the way it's structured, what we have on our walls, how it's nice, unless you open the door. And in the book of Ephesians, if you want to understand what God is saying, we've got to get the door open. And the key that unlocks the whole book is found in verse 3. Look what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God shows us that this book is about spiritual blessings. God says, here's what I want to help you with, church. You're blessed. Can I help you out this morning? We are blessed. We don't have to be here. We get to be here. We don't have to live the Christian life and endure it to the end. We enjoy the Christian life. It's a blessing to be a part of the family of God. I'm saved by His blood. I'm cleansed. He's forgiven me. He's placed me with Jesus in heavenly places. Notice what it says, and maybe you underline or mark it. It says, heavenly places in Christ. The phrase in Christ is mentioned all through the book. And it's mentioned several times in the opening chapter. Because God wants you to know that when it comes to being blessed, when it comes to being blessed, you're only blessed in Christ. You did nothing. He did everything. Amen. You did nothing. He did everything. Grace. The acronym for grace. God's riches at Christ. Expense, the acronym for Jesus. Jesus exactly suits us sinners. Jesus is where I find my blessing. Jesus is where I find the answer to life. It's where I find the purpose of life. It's where I find the peace of life. It's where I find the joy of life. Not in money, not in materials, not in gain, not in climbing a ladder, but in Jesus. Jesus exactly suits us sinners. And it's in Christ where all the blessings of the Godhead are found. The book of Colossians says that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Jesus dwells in me. All the Godhead dwells in the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly places. Think about what does it mean, heavenly places in Christ? Well, if you looked at Colossians chapter 3, you would see that Christ sits where? In heavenly place, right beside God the Father. It says to set our affections on things above where Christ sitteth. Did you know that you get to sit where Jesus sits? And most Christians live so poor, they don't understand this. They don't realize that they have blessings that they could tap into. A resource. We are sitting together with Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, listen, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We're sitting where Jesus sits. See, listen. Stay with me. When I got saved, I became a citizen of heaven. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says that our conversation is in heaven. That means my life. I'm a citizen of heaven. I am an ambassador of the King. If someone says, well, where's your home? You can say heaven. They say, no, I'm being for real. Yeah, I'm being for real too. Heaven is my home. I'm seated together with Christ. That is where I'm from. I'm just here on a journey working for the King. I'm an ambassador. I represent Jesus. But I am from heaven. Man, I don't know about you. That's the truth. That's where I'm from. See, most believers don't realize they're not of this world. Jesus said in the book of Luke, He called the lost world children of the world. Jesus says that children that are lost are children of this world. But as Christians, we're children of another world. Luke chapter 16 verse 18 says that. Children of the world. The lost are the children of the world. Jesus says that. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10 verse number 20 that our names are written in heaven. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. That's my home. You know why it sounded sweeter? Because I'm longing for a home. That one song, I'm longing for a home. For the sun's going down. I want to go where sweet rest can be found. Yes! Hey, I'm longing for my home. I'm ready to get there. I'm not of this world. Jesus told us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know why heaven is special? It's where my Father is. My Father is in heaven. My name is written in heaven. My conversation's in heaven. I'm not of this world. And that's pretty rich. Let me show you three words in the opening chapter. Two verses. The first word I want to call to your attention is the word saint. The Bible says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. Notice that word saints. Now there's been awful damage done to the word saint. You can actually look up a definition today in a local dictionary of today's dictionary. You won't find that in the dictionaries of days gone by. But people have classified saint dealing with some miraculous person that's become holy. You know, you hear about it. Oh, so-and-so's dead and they were such a wonderful person. They're a saint now. You're not a saint because you died and you perfected something. That's a false doctrine. It's a false teaching. Saints are believers. When I got saved, I became a saint. God says that we are sitting together with Christ in heavenly places in Christ. See, the day I got saved, the word saint has this. Saint deals with saint, deals with sanctification. Saint, sanctification. The meaning of the word saint is set apart. When I got saved, I got set apart. See, I was dead in my sins and trespasses, and Ephesians chapter 2 goes into detail about that. I was a member of this lost and dying world on my way to a devil's hell. I was a child of the devil, a child of the world. But when my faith placed in Christ, when I asked Jesus to become my Savior, all things changed. I was born again by the Spirit, by God's blessed Holy Ghost. He came into my life. He sealed me into the day of redemption. I became a child of God. I got down on my knees, a child of hell, and I got up a child of God. I'm a saint now. I've been set apart. God picked me up, said, get out of this world, and I'm going to baptize you into the family of God. I'm a saint. I was. I've been baptized into God's family. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a brother in Christ. If you're saved and you're a lady, you're a sister to me in Christ. We have one Father, one Lord. It's Jesus, God. He is our Father. Jesus is my Savior. The book is my Bible. This Bible is my book. My hope is that He's coming again. It's the same hope you have. We have something all in common. Jesus. We're family. See, I'm a saint. I've been set apart out of this world, and now I'm a part of His world. Hallelujah. See, I'm a citizen of heaven. Next time somebody, ask you where you live, tell them. Tell them, heaven. Why do we allow this world to play on our emotions so much? This is not where we live. We're just passing through this thing. So many Christians have given their roots, they've driven the hammer down and put roots in this place. And we're just passing through it. Why should you allow finances to drive you mad? Why should you give your power and your might, your talents, to having a bigger, better house? Why should you allow the vision of your heart, the dream of your life, to be successful in a world that you don't even live in? We are from another world. We have the power of Jesus living through us. We are the family of God. You think about the power. The Queen of England, The Queen of England. Now, there's a lot of ladies in England, but there's only one Queen of England. And she's the only one that can sit behind the royal desk. Right? If you walk in England and you go to the royal palace, you can't just go in there and sit at the desk and say, excuse you. You got a jail cell waiting for you. This is set apart for the Queen of England. And here's the thing about the Queen. It don't matter where she's at in England, she's still the Queen. Because that's her desk. That's where she sits. And as a Christian, I'm seated together with Christ. It don't matter where I go. It don't matter what I'm going through. I'm still royalty. I'm a part of the family of God. And it's thrilling to know it. That I am royalty with Jesus. We're rich in Christ. Number two. The Bible says in verse number two, grace be to you. The second word is grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. Did you know that you did nothing to earn your salvation? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Did you know that God has given every child of His a spiritual blessing and its grace? Let's see how it reads. Grace be to you. That's funny. Why didn't He say, grace, Father, I ask, would you give it to them? Did you know you don't have to pray for grace? Lord, I need some grace. Help me. I need it. Lord, would you pour out grace on me? You don't find that in the Bible. You don't find people praying for grace. You know why? Grace is an automatic blessing that God has given every child of His. Grace be to you. Grace is something that every one of us can live in. I can trust Christ. I can have His grace on my life. Not because I've prayed it through. It's because I'm His child. And I live in victory lane. How many Christians are living today from defeatism? Just constantly defeated. Constantly down. Constantly fighting in turmoil. And let me just help you out on this. The battle you're fighting is not with flesh and blood. We're children of another world. Our home is heaven. We fight the spiritual darkness of the unseen world. What we see here is all temporal. But I'm a child of God. I live in the eternal reign, the eternal purpose of God. And I'm pretty rich this morning. You know why? Because God's promised me this thing called grace. Did you know grace is all sufficient? Paul was praying that God would heal him over something. Or he says he has a thorn in the flesh. Many people debate what it was. Some people believe it was his eyesight because Paul began to lose his eyesight. He had to have other people help him, right? Whatever it was, we know this. Paul besought the Lord three times to take the thorn out. And then God said, Paul, I have something that's called grace. And it's all sufficient. How about just take my grace and let me be strong where you're weak? Paul said, I rather glory and my infirmities now, that the power of God can be shown in my life. You know what God wants to do? He wants to help you to see how rich you are by allowing you to quit trying to live the Christian life. Quit trying to do it. You cannot do this. But Jesus, through you, can. The Christian life has never been about making you a better you. It's always been about Christ in you and living it through you. That's the Christian life. Grace be to you. Walk in this marvelous grace. It's all sufficient. I wish I could pray more than get in tune with God. I wish I could read my Bible and it would jump out and touch my heart. Then let your life be yielded to His grace. God has given you a rich blessing. And you know what grace? Grace is like the ocean. The waves just keep crashing in. And grace is like the ocean waves. Just keeps on coming. It's like that person that stood out in the ocean over in the beach and looked at the ocean and said, "So where does that end?" It doesn't end. Amen. Grace is so sufficient. It's like that little boy. I heard a story several years ago about that little boy. That was a poor boy. Then he got sick and went to the hospital. The nurse went up to him and said, "Son, you need to eat a little something for your health. And here's your tall glass of milk." That boy grew up in a little poor home with several brothers and sisters. He'd never seen a tall glass of milk. He's used to seeing a small glass of milk that he had to share with his brothers and sisters. She gave him that, and that boy began, his lip began to quiver a little bit. And he looked up over that glass, and he said, "Ma'am, what happens when I drink this up?" And she said, "Oh, I'll just go back and get you another cup of milk." And that's the kind of grace that God has given us. Something that does not run out. Grace is not going to stop when you're in your time of need. Grace is there if you'll just get in His presence. If you'll tap into the blessing, the richness of Christ. Instead of living poor, we can be rich. The third word is peace. Grace be to you and peace. Did you know peace is another thing you don't have to ask God for? "God, give me peace in the storm." And God's going, "You can have it. You don't have to ask for it." He says, "Don't forget what I'm called. I'm called the God of peace." Did you know in order to have peace in your life, you just have to be with God because He's the God of peace? "Lord, make the storm more peaceful so I can handle it." And God's saying, "You don't have to have the storm change its wind. You just need me in the boat and everything's all right." Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of God. It's not the absence of problems. It's not getting rid of things. It's not God making it easier for you. It's not God changing your circumstance or your situation. It's not God answering these requests that you've got to have. What you need to have peace, what you need is to realize it's Christ and I just need to be with Him. I can have peace in the midst of my storm. I can have peace in the midst of my trials, in the midst of begging God to come through. I still can live in peace because it's a rich blessing that He's given every believer. We're rich this morning. Peace. And did He not say it's peace that passes all understanding? The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, let your prayers, requests be made known unto God." In other words, instead of worrying yourself to death, just take it to God. And then what God says, then it says, "And the peace of God." Not because you prayed for God's peace, but you took your problem and said, "That's it. I'm tired of fooling with this and worrying myself to death. I've got a rich blessing. I'm going to take my problems and give it to God." And then peace comes into your heart. And it passes all understanding. The world will say, "Man, I go through problems and it drives me nuts. How can you be going through something so dramatic and you're just, it's all right. Everything's good. How do you do that?" I'm rich. I've got a home in heaven. I'm seated together with Christ. The rest of the book of Ephesians is going to give great detail about these blessings. But I'm telling you right now, this day, this hour, this moment, the believer that has no peace, that's your fault. You're rich. You don't got to pray it through. You just have to realize it and yield your life to Christ, and the peace of God will be with you. The Christian that's trying to make everything right, I just wish I could live this Christian life. You're driving yourself up a wall. You're going to drive yourself crazy. You're living poor in spirit. You're in poverty lane. God has given you an all-sufficient grace. Quit trying to do the Christian life and yield yourself and let Christ live it through you. You know who you're to serve? You're not to serve your husband. Listen, you're not to have a service of giving my life all for my children. That's the wrong goal. It's the wrong goal. If you give your life to being the best wife you can be, you'll find out that you'll mess everything up. If you give your life to be the best husband you can be, you're going to find out that you'll mess things up at work. You've got one goal in life. You know what the goal is? Christ. 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 And if you yield your life to Christ and wake up, hey, and wake up and realize you're a saint. You are a saint because you're not of this world. And wake up and realize that God has got grace that is all sufficient for every problem you face, every question you have, every need you have to have. Look right here. In the Old Testament, God had His children, the nation of Israel. And you know what He promised them? He promised them material blessing. You read Deuteronomy, you'll find that there was a blessing and a curse for obedience. He gave the children of Israel a material blessing. But in the New Testament, it's not a material blessing that He's given children. And we're not children anymore. We're the body of Christ. We're the people of God. And it's not a material blessing. It's a spiritual blessing. I can be poor, little food in the cupboard, a car that's on its last wheel, and have a wonderful home and the blessings of God. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. Let's pray. All heads bowed, eyes are closed. You've got blessing this morning. You can be rich in Jesus. What you need to do is realize that you're a saint, that there's grace that's all sufficient for you. If you'll confess sin and yield your life to Jesus, that there's the peace of God. You don't have to pray it through. You just need to be with Him. His presence brings the peace. God did not take them out of the boat. He just got in the boat with them. That's the answer. That brings the peace. Are you living in poverty lane or are you living in the rich blessings of Jesus? Jesus exactly suits us sinners. Is your goal for life to be this or that? You know, it ought to be just Jesus. One goal. One goal. I'm going to follow Christ with all I got. One goal. Follow Christ with all I got. And then He'll lead you. He'll stir your heart up and He'll lead you to do things. He'll guide you where you should live. But one goal, and that's Christ. The peace that will pass. I'm going to ask Brother Desi to come to the piano. And he's going to play.